This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Good Wednesday afternoon, Grant and Danny with you on The Fan. August 20th, 2025, we will take you up to 6:15 tonight. Got a nice show planned for you. Former Redskins offensive lineman and Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth will be on the show. We will also talk with Chris Miller of Monumental Sports, the voice of the Wizards at 5. John Wall is retired. We want to look back at his career. Who better than Chris, who was on the sideline for the vast majority of Wall's time with the team? And then at 6 o'clock today, Mackenzie Gore of the Washington Nationals, our weekly appointment to him via Main Street Bank. Looking forward to talking to the ace of the Nats and their lefty all-star coming off of a second straight quality start. Danny, how are you?
I'm all right, my friend. It's so gloomy out. It's like all week it's this gloomy thing. Someone who sounds like they know stuff, it's the tail of a hurricane or some kind of thing. I don't know where anything is. I look at my weather app to figure out what I'm supposed to wear that day, and that's as far as I can do it. People who are aware of, geostorms and what's going on off the coast of blah blah blah, always amazing to me, but it's so stupid and gloomy.
Last night at Nats Park was kind of wild.
Yeah,
for an August baseball game to be in the press box and freezing cold was a first.
That's weird, man.
Even the official scorekeeper Ben came over the mic and he said first pitch temperature, I think he said it was 71 degrees, and he said, and yes folks, it is August. It's like, Ben, are you editorializing on the mic? Normally the scorekeeper goes, hit, error, game time, temperature, attendance. You know, it's very, very quick and dirty.
He dropped a bit on you?
But he dropped a little bit. He's
good for Ben.
And it is August. You're right. Look at your calendars. It says August.
Right in the middle, too.
But it was a little chilly, man. Speaking of chilly, the relationship between Terry McLaurin and the Commanders starts right there. Because we just got an important update. So Dan Quinn spoke within the last half hour. This is the first time Quinn has really addressed what's going on with McLaurin. Certainly since he no-showed the preseason game, was excused in his absence to not come to the game. But more importantly, we hadn't really gotten an update on how things are going to trend. Is he going to practice today? Are they elevating him in some way to get closer to playing? Is he participating? So this is what we got from Dan Quinn as his press conference about a half hour ago got started.
The return to play part is that's the good news. So we're out of the rehab phase with Terry. His ankle's good. He's healthy. So now it's a return to play. What goes into all that at that position specifically, like the max speeds, the decelerations, the route tree of going through that. So that's kind of the good news of where we're at. It's just conditioning and football and returning to play. And so almost all the guys are at some phase along that way. You're going to see McGee at practice. You're going to see Baptiste. They just have kind of gone through that process as well, where they're out of the rehab portion of their, returning to play. And then it's back into the football simulated work. So, we're excited that, he's back and getting better conditioning and getting things going. Chick?
So if you were wondering, are they going to start acknowledging that this is less about his ankle and more about the contract? The answer is no.
Nope.
Cliff Kingsbury, when he spoke last week, said it's time to get guys on the field when asked about Terry McLaurin. That was the closest thing to a bad cop and a good cop, bad cop relationship, kind of nudging the player, hey, let's go to practice. And what we asked that day, what we discussed and gave opinions on was, is this a shift in paradigm and philosophy from the team, or is this just Cliff Kingsbury being honest, who probably doesn't have to play as nice? He's not the head coach. He's the coordinator. He needs to accumulate yards, and he needs to put up points. And if you're not going to help him to do that, he's going to be kind of irritated with you. And so that's pretty clearly what that was, because this was more of the same. This is, you're asked about Terry, and you address him and Sam Cosmi and Jordan McGee all together.
Because it's the same.
The rehabbing group. The one interesting quote, I thought, that came out of Quinn today was that he doesn't want to play Where's Waldo with Terry McLaurin updates, which I respect. And I understand why he wouldn't want to play Brian Fantana Panda Watch. You'll have to forgive the rest of us who have a season to prepare for, just like you do. Different capacity. You're the head coach. The wins and losses matter to you. But as fans of the team that are investing a lot of money and energy and time and effort, and as media members who are covering this thing, you're going to have to forgive us for wondering where Waldo is, when Waldo is the number one wide receiver who's going to make the difference between you getting deep into the playoffs or not.
Yeah, if I know you don't want to answer the question. Sorry. Don't be the head coach then. Like, I don't want to eat this salad that I have for lunch because salads are stupid. I hate them. But I'd like to be less fat, so I'm going to eat the salad. See what I'm saying? It's part of the obligation. I understand it's not fun to answer, but this is part of the job. However you want to answer it, you can keep doing the charade, I suppose.
And I'll say this, even though he doesn't answer the question or give really legitimate information on the question, like, I don't know many coaches that handle themselves better in the relationship with the media part of it.
Does a great job, yeah.
And the podium part of it than Dan Quinn. He is energetic. He is pleasant. He's warm. He's personable. Don't expect to get a whole lot of intel very often, but in terms of not bristling, not being annoyed, you know, Mike Vrabel's just going to call you out and call you an idiot and treat you like you're 10 years old. Sometimes be borderline unprofessional, like, you know, some college basketball coach or whatever who's just going to yell at the kid who's working for the local school paper or whatever. Dan Quinn's not going to do that. I mean, right. He treats everybody with a level of decency, which I appreciate. And I've long said, I like coaches who keep things close to the vest. I'm just surprised this is still the tact they're going with on McLaurin.
Yeah, it's a way to not have to address anything.
Yeah.
And that's the plan, I suppose, up at the podium.
It would be annoying to have to constantly update everybody as the head coach when it's not your deal. Like, Adam Peters speaks before camp, and then he doesn't speak again for a long time, which is how they do it. I'm not calling out Adam Peters. I think that's normal. But he is the one, or Brandon Sosna, who is this very sharp front office executive who is working on the contract. Those are the guys, frankly, that you need to ask questions to. Dan Quinn is the head coach who's trying to get the team ready to play. And each morning he goes, will I have Terry or not? And they say, you will not. And then he goes out to the field. So I understand why that would be annoying. But for me, it does just get old to have to keep pretending. It feels like we're playing a game of pretend. Now, he's right. He's missed so much time that he does actually have to condition now. So this new part of it is legitimate. He's got to go out there and run and get in shape.
But is he? I mean, is he doing that? Is he doing the, like, actual return to practice stuff, or you just get to say it?
That's what we're going to figure out in the next few minutes, probably. Yeah. I mean, their practice starts at 2 o'clock. Is he going to be on a side field running with Jordan McGee, or is he still in the building or nowhere to be found? I mean, that's what we need to know. This was Ben Standig, one of our buddies, talking to Dan Quinn at the press conference about this very matter.
Dan, just to clarify, will we see Terry today out here doing anything?
Not at the practice portion. He had a big part of the run that went along today. But I'm not going to play Where's Waldo, guys, all right, moving forward. So just so we're clear on that. So Terry's return to play format is no different than any of the other players. And so I'm not jumping at you, Ben, but I wanted to make sure, like, the next question doesn't go down this line. He's healthy, which is now a good step to, like, getting closer to being back on the field. So you'll see that earlier than later. I don't have a date circled on my whiteboard in my office, this day for him. But, yeah, the good news, we're getting closer to that for sure.
So a few things there. That's what I'm talking about, where he's the nicest guy ever.
Yeah.
Or, like, that was not even close to, like, biting at Brent Ben. And he's like, I'm not trying to be mean here, Ben. And it's like, well, no, that's clear, because you weren't mean at all.
Right.
Right? Like,
you covered that.
He's a very nice person. But at the same time, the part that I will just have to take some issue with is he is the same as everyone else in the return to play. And he's actually not in any way. Right? I mean, this is not the same as the actually injured player who got hurt a couple weeks ago, Brandon Coleman, or the guy recovering from an ACL, Sam Cosmi, or the guy that can't stay on the field, Jordan McGee. Like, this is not the same. And pretending like it is a little bit disingenuous. It's strategic and understandable.
It's their way out. It's the way to, and again, you can even hear it in there where he's going, I want to preclude, so it's not the next question, the next question, the next question. Now, if you're there every day and you've got to deal with the man, I understand, and maybe that's going to work. But outside looking in, sorry, it. With all due respect to Jordan McGee, who I've never seen play football, basically. I mean, that's hyperbolic. I've seen like 7 seconds of it. The biggest story is the number one wide receiver who no-showed at the game. You know what I mean? Like, I need to know what he's doing and when he's doing it and how it's happening. Is this resolved? Is it not? Is it closer? Is it not? And you're the only person that we can talk to. If we could talk, it's not me, but if the media could talk to Adam Peters, if the media could talk to Josh Harris, we have no access to anybody except for you who are required to do this thing.
Right.
So you're trying to head off the questions at the pass. God bless you. There's going to be a push and pull there, but there needs to be that push.
Well, the other part of that answer that was interesting to me was when he talked about that we're getting closer. He said he is now healthy, which means he's off the PUP list. He's been cleared. And he made it sound like sooner rather than later he'll be on the practice field. That is what he said in the back half of that answer. Grab me the second part of that answer so I can kind of get the wording right on this.
He's healthy, which is now a good step to like getting closer to being back on the field. So you'll see that earlier than later. I don't have a date circled on my whiteboard in my office. This day for him, this day for him. But, yeah, the good news, we're getting closer to that for sure.
So that's a sooner than later he's going to practice because he's healthy. And the way he's selling it today is we've got to get him in shape, so it's time to do a bunch of cardio. So you can just set that to the side. The important question that is not going to be answered by Dan Quinn or anybody else out there right now is it up to you guys when he practices? To me, that if you really want to peel all the layers back and get to the nitty-gritty here, get to the bottom line of what is going on, is Terry McLaurin not practicing today because you guys are telling him, hey, we got to get you in shape. I know you're ready to start practicing, but the first step is cardio and the return to practice plan that we've put together for you. Take a look at it. We just emailed it to you. It's on your phone. And you open it and it says, do 100 sprints and you know do this with Chad Reinhardt on the side field where he's got the bungee cord wrapped around you or whatever it is, mm-hmm. right? Is that what's happening? Is it up to you, and that's why he's not practicing now? Or is this another day where Terry McLaurin isn't coming down to the field? Like, if he said, and we'll just take him at his word, that he ran today or did whatever it was, non-practice division, that they wanted him to do. Well, that's a tell that he has ramped up his activity, I would think.
Right.
He had been sitting in a training room doing whatever that was. Now, if on the practice field he's actually doing something, and that's what he's allowed to do, that's not that different from participating in a practice in terms of he's playing ball.
Yeah, like let's say he wasn't hurt. And again, he's not. But let's say he wasn't hurt. And would he practice today? You know what I'm saying? Or are we still in the discord phase? Are we still in the he's not doing it phase out of protest, out of being upset, et cetera? Like, again, there's so many layers to the onion. There's so many different elements to this thing, and this is the tact that they've chosen to be able to not have to answer questions. Because anything that you ask on this front about the contract, the status, how disgruntled is he, how mad is he, you know, where does this end, where does it go, have you talked to him, how close it is, you get to pull the lever. Return to play, injury stuff. So he's working his way back. How is he working his way back? No. He's working his way back just like the other injured guys are working their way back. Again, it was their out. It's how they decided to couch this thing to create as little drama as possible. And I understand that, by the way. Again, it's easy to have these sorts of things escalate if you start getting into a war of words. I mean, again, think back to Bruce Allen and Trent Williams, where one side says one something and that pisses the other side off, and now they become more intractable, and next thing you know, fines are happening, and you trade him for nothing. A guy that was, you know, a future Hall of Fame player, a gold jacket, a ring of fame player, is now disgruntled with the organization. That's why they excused his absence and didn't start fining him. It's why they haven't gotten down to the nitty-gritty yet. Because they could. They're within their rights at this point for someone that's, you know, potentially missing things and kind of getting ready for the season. And he's not participating, which is part of his contract.
Should I take when he says that his return to the practice field is no different than any other player to mean that's his message to McLaurin, essentially, that we're now treating you like everybody else, So if you're not willing to do this, that's on you. But we're going to be putting more and more on you. Mm. And so it used to be pretty easy when you got to just sit in the building and we could say that you're doing whatever you're doing with the trainer. But now, today you're doing this. Tomorrow you're doing this. By Friday, we want you out on the field, on the walkthrough. I mean, is that maybe a message being sent? Like, I'm taking it, and I'm arguing with the point when he says he's no different than everyone else. And I'm going, he's actually extremely
different. He's so different, the most different you could be.
But if you just take him kind of at word for word here, Terry's return to play format is no different from any of the other players. He's healthy, which is now a good step to being back on the field. I don't have a date circled. That could also be, I mean, they might be talking to each other through the media a little bit. McLaurin's no longer sitting at Eastern Motors, but he might be saying, all right, you are in this bucket. So we'll have this for you today and this for you on Thursday. And if you don't want to do it, everyone's going to find out. This is now really about you wanting your money.
Huh.
We're not playing the injury game anymore. Because this is the first time, if you're looking for the word, he's healthy.
Yeah.
That is the first time we have heard it. He is healthy. Good step to being back on the field. It's a little bit of a shift because previously, before they took him off PUP,
he's not healthy.
They were suggesting he wasn't, and they kind of, to your point, throwing their arms up, going, "What do you guys want? He needs to work with the trainers. He's not healthy enough to practice."
It's interesting. I hadn't thought of it in that next layer that you just addressed. I mean, to me, this is just the natural continuation of the charade, right? Where we were pretending that it was a legitimate PUP. We were pretending that it, you know, this is all, you know, just a guy that's rehabbing back from some injury, and the whole contract thing, the reason we're here, that's I don't know, man. Come on, he's with the trainer. Nothing I can do. To me, this is just the natural extension for that, buying themselves some time. But if it is, you know, that kind of 3D chess there, you know, tip of the cap. But to me, this was just the next phase in. I don't want to answer. I can hide behind the quote unquote injury and rehabilitation for however long. I don't know how long that you get for that, but I think that's all this was.
I'm pretty sure that a couple weeks ago when we last talked about our confidence that he would play in week one, I was at 98, 99%, and so were you.
Yes.
Are you still that high?
No.
Where are you now? So week one, the smoke machine's going off in the end zone. Players are running out. Is Terry McLaurin one of them?
No. I'm sub 50.
Sub 50?
Yeah.
Stop the presses. Throw out the rundown. I mean, this is good to know. You no longer think Terry McLaurin will play against the Giants?
No. That's now again, if he's actually doing any of the things that Dan Quinn said today and he understands that football's happening this year, then he's under contract to play it, maybe. But I think his agent is so dug in and has so overshot this thing and has poisoned the waters here that we're going to do the damaging thing. We're going to sabotage our season, sabotage ourselves, sabotage our career for this fool's errand that's never going to happen.
That is a massive declaration.
I hadn't realized until you asked me that question.
I mean,
directly.
That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
We need dramatic sound effects, Darius. We need. You know, the guy just found out that the killer of this person is the same as the killer of the other person in the Law and Whatever episode. Danny just had his epiphany. So you don't think he plays. Now, either way, it's a huge deal, but I think it could be different. One path is that he's just not ready to play yet, but he's actually back with the team practicing, and he'll be back for, I would say, week two, but they play Thursday after Sunday. So if he misses game one, he's missing probably two games. So he's back for week three. Or is he actually still holding out? Because if he's still holding out, to me, that would be amazing. That would be all-time stunning. Are you saying he's still not actively a part of the club?
Yeah.
Or just it's so hard for him to get ready as late as he's dragged this thing out that he's not ready to go?
I'm saying it's still an active holdout.
Wow. Did you take your sunglasses off and look off to the side while you said it?
It's time to hold on.
Yeah!
You know, like you go the whole episode. Yeah, it's I do. I think it's now the missing of the game changed my eye line. Like, again, there are dudes with way more acrimony publicly who have said way worse things. Way more shots have been fired. You know, making the trip, watching the game with the team, there with their brothers, you know, yucking it up on the sidelines, you know, weird bucket hat on, towel over your shoulder for some reason, whooping and hollering at backups making plays in the preseason game. He wasn't there.
Does anybody else agree with Danny that didn't at one point? Like, if you, from Jump Street, just thought he wasn't going to play in week one, okay, whatever. But has anybody else changed their mind on this that was very confident he'd be on the field all along that now thinks he's not going to play in that opener? I'd like to hear from you on that. 800-636-1067. We can open up the phones. Plus, I want to get an update for you on Brian Robinson. There is a report out there of one particular team that is kicking the tires on him. We'll give you the details on Grant and Danny.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He's healthy, which is now a good step to like getting closer to being back on the field. So you'll see that earlier than later. I don't have a date circled on my whiteboard in my office, this day for him, this day for him. But yeah, the good news, we're getting closer to that for sure.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. That was Dan Quinn just about an hour ago. Daily press conference, 2 o'clock practice today for Washington as they get back to work ahead of Saturday's preseason finale with the Baltimore Ravens. By the way, the team that has been linked to Brian Robinson just via some reporting out of Miami is the Dolphins. They are supposedly interested in Robinson because Devin Achane, their tailback, is going to miss a couple of weeks, it sounds like, with an injury. And so now they're scrambling a bit. They're looking at the wire for running backs, and it stands to reason you've got this fairly high floor player. I would say also a low ceiling player, singles hitter, but a guy that can average 3.5-4 yards per carry for you and keep things afloat offensively for a team that wants to throw to set up the run anyway.
And you could use a little thunder of that lightning. I mean, Achane is a quick as all hell, fast scat back kind of guy. I don't want him toting the rock 20 times a game, right? So there you go. There's a good complimentary piece.
I don't see the fit schematically necessarily there with the Dolphins, if I'm being honest. I saw the odds came out on Bet Online today for the teams most likely to trade Brian Robinson. And the team most likely to do so is the 49ers, according to Bet Online, at 4-1. Then they had the Dolphins at 5-1. So that is Kyle Shanahan and then Shanahan disciple Mike McDaniel. So it's zone running, zone blocking scheme, which I get how you could tell me he would be very successful in a zone blocking scheme, but he does not resemble the types of backs that have a lot of success with those guys generally. It's a little bit of a quicker, one cut up the field. We call him a sledgehammer, battering ram, whatever. But when you think about the Niners, you don't really see B-Rob types. It's not to say...
It's a lot more Elijah Mitchell there, right?
I think that's kind of been the trend. I will say over the years, Kyle's been intrigued by some guys like that. Remember when they drafted Carlos Hyde fairly early?
Yes.
He was a little bit of a B-Rob type. Like the Dolphins under McDaniel, I can't think of a Robinson-esque back that they've tapped into. I mean, Raheem Mostert's a burner. Achane is faster than him.
Yeah.
So this is against type.
And even guys that have to go to, like Myles Gaskin was undersized at the position, you know? So,
and maybe
I don't
that's
know.
Where he becomes interesting is because, well, it's the opposite of what you have.
Yeah.
You know, it's here, the idea is you've got these thunderous physical rushers that aren't going to hit a home run. You need speed. Maybe their point is we got the speed and home run part covered. We need someone who can slam into the line of scrimmage and pick up a couple of tough yards. Because one of the storylines I remember out of Dolphins training camp, now that I think about it, was when Tyreek Hill was at the podium and he was asked, how would you fix like your short yardage problems or what would you do differently on third and fourth down? And he said, I'm pretty sure he said, don't give the ball to Devin Achane, who's like his buddy. Because what was funny about it is Achane responded to the video and he's like, you're going to do me like that? And he took it in stride. But Tyreek Hill basically was like, this is a speedy finesse guy, and like we keep giving him the ball in short yardage.
Yeah, with the stack line of scrimmage, trying to slam him in there. Yeah.
So maybe, I mean, if they believe that Hill's onto something, maybe a guy like B-Rob could be a fit and helping them just from a personnel standpoint.
Yeah, no, it won't cost you a ton. So yeah, that's I suppose it makes sense. I mean, to me, this was one of those like the opinion on him I'm going to be fascinated by. Where like, how much better is Brian Robinson than say Gus Edwards, who I think is still a free agent at this point, right? It'd be eye of the beholder type stuff, because like, I got a pretty big Venn diagram crossover in terms of skill sets between those couple of guys. And Gus Edwards has had a place in this league. Never the plan A, but every time he's got the chance to run the football, has been just fine, averaging mid 4 yards per carry, give or take, right? Slamming into the line of scrimmage, not here to wiggle and make you miss, but here to inflict some pain. So I'll be interested to see where the market is.
I think Robinson's an upgrade over him, for sure. But in his career, his numbers are better than Robinson's, for the record. He's a 4.7 yards per carry guy in his NFL career. I just think he's been in a way better situation.
I was going to say, he was in Baltimore for a while. That'll help you.
Best rushing team in the league. Yeah. Really good offensive line. Lamar Jackson next to you, although you can make the case Jaden Daniels is next to Robinson last year. But he leaves there for one season. Last year with the Chargers, he averaged 3.5 yards per carry.
Yep. So for a team that ran it well.
To me, that's kind of what he is. Oh, by the way, he's 30. He's much older than Brian Robinson, who's still on his rookie deal for another year. So, yeah, if I could give up a seventh and get B-Rob instead of signing Edwards, I would do that.
There you go.
But that's probably about the ceiling of what you're going to get. And let's face it, it just works out this way that most of the time, when these stories come out about a team that is on the precipice of releasing a player if they can't trade him, they don't get traded very often. Every now and then it happens, and it's always surprising to me. It's like, why did they do that again? I don't really understand. A team like Miami or like Baltimore, just to name a couple, like contenders, they're not high in the waiver wire claiming process. So you might be more inclined to throw a seventh-round pick at someone you really like. So that's the path to getting him traded, perhaps. If San Francisco actually is interested, and you know you don't have a shot at him because there's several teams in front of you, then maybe you would be willing to throw a draft pick. But this is a, if they get something, I'll high-five Adam Peters kind of scenario. Now, you can make the case, if you're of the belief they shouldn't be moving on from him, that they're going too far on how little they need him.
Mm-hmm.
You could argue that. I'm not going to be with you. I think they're right, and that person is wrong. They're making the correct decision here, in my opinion. But if they get something for a guy they're about to cut, whenever that happens, that's just a win. And that's when suddenly I go, okay.
Yeah, that's my view. If he's not part of your plans and you get something for him, I said this yesterday, I'm amazed, honestly. That's good wheeling and dealing. It's like some of those Mike Rizzo trades where it's like, really? This guy that's not part of our plans for Trey Turner? Awesome. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'll do that again.
Speaking of things you've said, you just said last segment that as of today, you don't think Terry McLaurin will be back and playing for this team when they take on the Giants in week one.
Yeah, that now I hadn't thought that specifically, but we were talking about it, and you asked, and all of a sudden I realized that's what my gut says.
What percentage chance would you put on him playing in that game? You said it's sub 50.
Yeah, it's like 48, 49.
Okay.
Yeah, to me, it's like a little bit less than a coin toss.
So pretty much a toss-up. Do you agree with what I've been saying for weeks? If you don't play in week one, you're not playing until week three. Because they play the Packers on Thursday night in Lambeau, quite literally 4 days after the opener against the Giants.
Yes, that makes the most sense.
I don't know how you could possibly play Thursday if you can't play Sunday.
Yeah, that makes the most sense. Unless it is purely a protest, right? Where it's like, I'm sitting out week one just to let you know that I'm not okay with all this, and then I'll get to work because I don't want to be fined anymore.
But at that point, he will have been back and practicing for a while.
Again, maybe. Yeah.
Because you can't play on Thursday if you haven't been practicing for a few weeks. You can't just say, all right, well, I'm back now. It's Monday, and we have a game in 72 hours, and I'm ready to play. Mm-hmm. Like, he's either practicing next week to get ready for week one and then playing in both games, or if he's not, then you're probably not playing in either. That's the way I viewed it all along.
Right, no, that makes sense.
It's two games within 4 days. Mm-hmm. That's the part of this that needs to keep be front of mind and I think continually be brought up. Let's go to Shane in Switzerland, listening on the Odyssey app. I don't think our signal's getting out there. What's up, Shane? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, Commander Grant? How y'all doing today?
Very good, buddy. Well. Thank you.
Hey, look, I'm with Commander on this. I honestly don't think Terry suits up with Commanders this year. I duly don't. I think the days of Terry's done. I love Terry. You guys know how much I love him. But look, at some point, he's under contract for this year, correct? And he's got to go by that contract. He's got to honor his contract. I get it. The man needs to be part of this field. He needs to get on the field. I mean, he's got to be part of his team. He's got to start getting in there. And like you said, Grant, if he don't play week one, he damn sure ain't going to play week three. And at that point, what if they go out there, Jaden Daniels connects with all these young receivers, and they're out there putting up points without him? At that point, it's not going to look for Terry. So, you look, I truly do not think he's going to be part of this organization anymore. I truly think he's done here.
Wow,
man.
I don't see it that way. That's pretty stunning, but I mean, it's harder to scream at you for the tape than it would have been a month or so ago. What I really like that he brought up, though, is the worst-case scenario for McLaurin is probably that he doesn't play and Washington lights it up in the first game. Like, how bad would that look for him and the agent? If the Commanders go out there against the Giants with that vaunted front and that pass rush,
mm-hmm.
and they score 37 points and Daniels throws for 296, three touchdowns, runs for 57, and a score or whatever— and Luke McCaffrey has six balls for 58 yards, and let's say Noah Brown's back and he catches a touchdown. Debo goes 8 for 127 or whatever, and it's like, Terry wasn't there? Oh, I didn't even realize. That would be tough for him.
And the alternative is they have a sluggish, lethargic, slow out of the gate offensive performance, as has happened against the Giants, regardless of what time of the season it's been.
That's the gigantic win for him.
Well, win to a certain degree. It's like,
I mean, personally for him, if he doesn't play and they put up 17 in a loss to the Giants, that phone call gets a lot more fun on Monday for Buddy Baker.
I suppose from that angle, but then for me, it's a, you did that. Well, you poisoned us.
I'm
you
not
know
talking
what I mean?
About Danny Ruiz.
Well, I mean, for fans.
Yeah, of course. I'm just saying for McLaurin, the best case scenario would be that.
So the team's offer goes up?
I don't necessarily think it does, but this is the same thing I said to people that couldn't quite get my point on the preseason game. when four drops were had in three possessions by veteran receivers, it makes you look better. I don't think they call back and they go, all right, now we'll offer 28. But you have two options, basically.
Right.
Either they look good on offense or they look bad on offense while you're holding out.
I guess you'd rather them look bad.
I can't believe I'm arguing this. This seems pretty obvious. This seems intuitive, I would say. But I like that Shane has not let the Commander Danny thing die. I feel like too many people have forgotten that you're the lieutenant commander of the fan base.
That's not true.
And Shane is one of the few guys that refers to Danny as Commander Danny, and Danny loves it.
He's carrying the torch for it, by the way, and good for him.
But just remember when you call in, feel free to address Danny as Commander Danny. It's what he prefers.
Mm.
He's afraid. He's a little nervous to ask. True. He's a little bit shy and bashful about it.
That's the toughest one. That's the one. That's the one, man.
You do command the funny.
I don't. That's not a thing. Just to keep it very clear. That's not a thing. It never has been.
Oh.
Is that one worse?
That's so good.
Is that one worse? Or is
I forgot
command
about
the funny?
That one. That's so much worse than command the funny. You really think command the funny is worse than that?
I don't know anymore.
The lieutenant on the commander force?
Oh.
That's one of the worst things I've ever heard anyone say.
Oh.
Play that again.
Oh.
Matter of fact, only play this rejoin. When we come back from every segment.
The command force.
From this point forward. And here's the new bit. Ready? Until Terry McLaurin signs a contract.
Oh, how dare you.
We only play this sounder when we rejoin.
How dare all of you.
We in on this?
I'm going to report all of you to Ryan Clary. Ryan, are you documenting all this for corporate?
No, don't worry, dude.
Malfeasance.
As soon as Terry signs, we'll play something else. He just has to sign.
I don't want to hear this until October.
Aaron's in Laurel on Grant and Danny. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, how's it going, Grant?
Good. Somebody. How are you?
I'm good. I was just thinking that I'm surprised that no one has really brought up the fact that, you know, the McLaurin thing is going on alongside of B-Rob. And I'm wondering, like, maybe they're working out some sort of package with those two.
I don't think that's what's happening. I think the Brian Robinson thing's been a little longer term in the making, and we just got light shed on it.
But I've heard a couple of people speculate that. I just think they're just two moves that are happening concurrently. Yeah, I don't think there's a connection.
What is the suggestion? That they're going to put the two of them together in a trade?
Yes.
I mean, I guess you could in the sense that Terry wants a trade, and they are trying to trade Brian Robinson, but they have no interest in trading McLaurin. They're not trading McLaurin. I don't think anything's changed on that front. Willie in Kensington, what's up?
Hey, Grant and Red Wolf Danny.
Red Wolf Danny is a different one.
Red Wolf Danny. I think that Jalen Lane can give you what you need. Terry had a good rookie year. I think he could have a good rookie year. And the difference isn't worth $30 million. So I don't think they're going to sign him. And they don't want disgruntled around. So they'll probably trade him.
If Jalen Lane could go out and catch 75 balls for them for 1,000 yards, then this would be a very different negotiation and situation.
Well,
or even just give you what Terry did in his rookie year with bad quarterback play. He missed two games and he went 58 for 919, the only year where he hasn't gone for 1K. If he would have played in 16 games, it would have been a 70-catch, 1,125-yard rookie season. That's not what Jalen Lane's going to be able to provide right away. He's got some things he's figuring out. We saw it in the preseason game. I love him. I'm high on him. But there's some nuances to the position, rounding some routes off where DBs can read what he's doing and watch his hips and then break on balls and near interceptions happen or a pick of Sam Hartman took place. So he's still got a little bit of work and refinement to do as a guy that's probably more of a slot anyway than a player out on the boundary. But I bet they'd love to be in a situation where they felt like, whether it was him or somebody else,
we got a replacement ready.
We're okay.
Yeah.
We got a 70-catch guy right here. He's just waiting in the wings.
Which I don't think they do, and I think they know that.
Mark Schlereth, who won a Super Bowl here in D.C., will be on the show at 3 o'clock today. Want to go around the NFL with him. Next, though, let's go through the divisions in football and find our hardest to easiest divisions to crown champions in with some confidence rankings. We'll do that on The Fan.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking at the NFL divisions, trying to figure out what the hardest, easiest groups to predict are this season. So let's start in the AFC and rank them. Bills, heavy favorites in the East. I have a hard time envisioning anybody else winning that division. West, the Chiefs find a way to win every year, but that was a three playoff team division last year.
Yeah, the division's going to be good, and Kansas City had miraculous wins.
Totally.
But they're Kansas City, so they're going to win the division again.
Bill Barnwell actually wrote a piece where he highlighted teams that are most likely to regress this year, and he's got the Chiefs as one of them. And I don't think that's specific to thinking Kansas City's not going to be very good. They were 15-2, and they probably should have been 11-5, you know, 11-6, whatever that works out to. So just naturally, if they're as good as they were last year, they probably win 11 or 12 games. And it stands to reason it's possible suspension coming for Rashee Rice. Maybe they are going to be a little bit worse this year, although I do think their line got better, which was an area of weakness. But in that division, the Broncos, ascending, playoff team last year, Bo Nix in year two. The Chargers, I would have said, ascending, they're a playoff team. You know they got a great coaching staff with Jim Harbaugh leading the way. I like their front office as well, a bunch of guys that came over that were helping to run the Ravens under Joe Ortiz. The problem for them is already...
Rashawn Slater already.
Besieged by injuries again. Yeah. I mean, it's like the most Charger thing ever. That you come out of training camp, and you're the BC version of yourself already. So we'll come back to that division. AFC North, ultra entertaining. Can the Bengals play enough defense to just be league average on that side of the ball? Frankly, even if you're below average, but you're 20th instead of 31st, 32nd, they might be an 11-12 win team, as good as their offense is. The Ravens are the heavy favorites there. The Steelers trying to make the playoffs again. And then the AFC South, the Texans, a head and shoulders favorite over A Colts team that just named Daniel Jones the starter, a Jaguars team with Liam Cohen as a first-time head coach, trying to get more out of Trevor Lawrence, and the Titans who took Cam Ward 1-1. So of these four divisions, Danny, you got to put a bunch of money down on a division champion. You have to be right. Where are you circling?
Buffalo in the East is my one seed. Even though Kansas City, by the way, you know, death taxes Kansas City winning the AFC West. Still, just there are too many good teams. I don't know. They're a playoff team. They're going to go to the AFC title game again. But I think Buffalo is just so head and shoulders above everyone else. To me, the second best team in that division is New England, who might be a fringe playoff team, but they're nowhere near what I think Buffalo is.
Yeah, and they were picking in the top five in the draft this year. They have a head coach in his first year with the program, albeit a really good one in Mike Vrabel, who proved in Tennessee might be a top 10 coach in the league when he's got the right personnel around him. All right, so let's agree on the Bills then as the most likely division champion in the AFC. For the second spot, do we go with the Chiefs for a ninth straight season? Or do you like Baltimore better than the rest of the North because the Steelers have Aaron Rodgers, an aging quarterback, and the Bengals have a bad defense?
I'm high on the Ravens again this year, but they always have three inexplicable losses, and I think the division will be a little bit better. I don't think Cincinnati is going to give away the first half of the season again. So, to me, the more likely team is Kansas City because they always win the damn thing.
So, I'll put the Chiefs second as well. I'm generally not as high on Baltimore as you are. I've kind of always viewed them as, like, playoff good, but I don't love them as a Super Bowl team. That said, they might be the most talented team in the NFL going into the season. I mean, there's really not a major flaw. There's no real wart on that club. So you put them third. And then the Texans, by default, come in fourth as a favorite. I think just because the division's bad, they had a year last year where they took a small step backwards. I also think the Jaguars are going to be competitive. I love Liam Cohen offensively. I think there's more in the tank for Trevor Lawrence. Daniel Jones, I'm in the minority on this, I think, should have been named the starter over Anthony Richardson. I don't think Richard could play dead in a Western. But regardless, that's not a particularly good football team on offense with Daniel Jones either.
No.
You've got quarterback that we know is not very good, quarterback that has not proven that he could play at an NFL level, competing for a starting job.
Yeah, decent team, bad quarterback. .. We've seen that act before.
That's a 9-win, 8-win kind of thing.
Yeah, which is what they were last year. So
Titans, what, 6-7 wins?
Yeah. Probably. It's a better operation now. I like what they're doing. They're building something. They're not ready to compete. I think probably the same for the Jaguars. 4-13 last year. I don't expect that. Maybe 6 wins, 7 wins, you know, maybe 8 if things break right. But yeah, so the division itself will be better. I just still think Houston is just further along in their build and their development, et cetera.
All right. So then if there's a surprise division champion, sounds like we're both coming out of the South. I would say it's the Jacksonville Jaguars. Give me another team in the AFC that if they won the division, you would not be shocked.
The Bengals, just because they're trying something different, and maybe it works this time. Again, if their defense is just okay, I'm not even talking about good, but like league bad, like below league average. I think they won 9 games last year with maybe the worst defense ever assembled in human history, giving away the first month of the season. If you don't, with their easy schedule to start, then them in November and December are terrifying. That they could win that division.
4-4 last year, Cincinnati. Record in games where they scored over 30 points.
That's insane.
500 football team. I don't know if you can do that again. I mean, people in Cincinnati probably won't allow you to. They'll be calling for heads. But I don't know if it's possible to replicate that. That seems unsustainable. Mark Schlereth won a title here in D.C. with the then Redskins. We'll have him on the show next. Go around the NFL. Grant and Danny with you on The Fan.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. and it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.